So I've been here for roughly about 2.5 years now. And here's the amazing thing about being here 2.5 years, getting to actually start to know you and understand a lot of you. Y'all are very impressive. You really are. This is an impressive church. I am amazed when I talk to you about the things that you do, either as hobbies or in your professional life, or things you used to do in your professional life, and you talk to me. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible. Even the children amaze me, right? We've had a number of graduates graduating and going off to do things, and all of them are telling me all their plans and what they're majoring in. It's incredible. David was just telling me in the back, he's going into economics, and I'm like, oh my goodness, right? Like, just so impressive. Our young people are impressive. You know, my own daughter, right? She's over here 5 minutes. She's probably doing it right now. Sorry. Right, she's drawing. She can draw better in 5 minutes than if you like threatened me I could do all day long, right? I'm just like, I can barely do a stick figure. And they're like, that's not a stick figure, right? No, she's phenomenal. Young people, hearing the sports and the activities and the abilities and talents you all have is so amazing. It is incredible. It's impressive, both as children and adults. We have an impressive church. Why not brag about your achievements? Right? Why not brag about your accomplishments, right? Because I don't hear too many of you coming over like, oh, I won this award. I did this. This is what I do in my free time. You know, like, wow, you know, my free time. I'm like, I would like a nap, right? It's really impressive what we have as a church. Why shouldn't we brag about our achievements? Right? So many people in the world and the culture around us and in places, even in churches, people will do the humble brag, right? Or they'll posture themselves to show off their achievements. And really, I mean, you know, you've all heard the phrase, it's not bragging if it's true. So why shouldn't we brag about our achievements? Why not? It's an interesting thing that the Apostle Paul chooses to end his epistle to the churches in Galatia about. If you recall, there has been an issue of legalism, where people were coming into the church and saying, hey, you know, yeah, following Jesus, that's great. But if you want God to really love you, you need to follow the Old Testament law. You need to follow circumcision. You need to follow the dietary rules. You need to follow the cleanliness laws. And then, wow, you're going to be like a super Christian, right? Then God will really love you, not like this low-level love he has right now. And Paul fights against that. Right, we don't have that issue so much right now, but we do. We absolutely do as Christians. If only I prayed more, if only I looked like this, if only I did this kind of job instead of that kind of job, then I would be holy and I would look better. If only I did this, then maybe God would love me more. Right? We have that kind of rule following breaking into our mentality over and over and over again. We think we can earn God's love instead of enjoying it. Instead of spending time with him in relationship, we think we can do more and he's going to love us more. And God finds that offensive. And so he's been working against that and teaching that we are saved through God's grace, his undeserved favor, his undeserved gift. We are saved just by trusting that Jesus died for your sins and rose again. That saves us. That's it. You don't need anything else. You don't need anything more. And in fact, if you try to add to that, it's offensive to God and it doesn't work. It actually cuts ourselves off from God's relationship. You don't have to do anything to earn God's love. It's unconditional. And so you think, well, how is he going to end this? Well, he ends by talking about not bragging about our accomplishments. Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 11. Paul writes, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay, let's look at this for a second here. And the real thrust of the big idea of the last thing he says is, don't brag about what you've accomplished. Because there were people coming in saying, hey, I've been circumcised, so God really loves me. And then they were like, hey, I convinced all these Gentiles to get circumcised, so God loves me even more. Weird thing to brag about, different times. You don't hear about people bragging about this today. But a few of you are like, yeah, that is hilarious. I don't know, I'm very juvenile. But in the same regards, we do the same. We will brag about our achievements. We will brag about our accomplishments. We will brag about our livelihoods. We will brag about our relationship with God. And Paul says, no, don't do it. So he says in verse 11, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. That's kind of strange because this is a copy of the original letter that he sent out to the churches in Galatia. But what was probably happening in the original manuscript is he was writing in large letters. So in the New Testament, oftentimes the writer had an amanuensis, is what theologians call it, a secretary or someone to dictate to. So someone was copying what Paul was saying to copy because they're better at copying. And meanwhile, at this point, Paul says, I'm going to essentially sign this by my own name by writing this last paragraph in my own hand. Right, so it's now beautiful, ornate calligraphy. Any of you guys have beautiful handwriting? I know someone does, not me. They have beautiful handwriting. And then they get to the last paragraph and it's like, meh, 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 right? It's like just really ugly. And you're like, oh, okay, what's happening here? And Paul's like, this is what my handwriting looks like. And it's also probably in large letters because as we saw earlier in Galatians, and there's some other indications, Paul had a chronic eye problem. And so he's writing with large letters so that he can see what he's writing better. So that's what that weirdness is on there. Verse 12, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who force you to be circumcised. Ooh, that sounds awful. In order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ, right? So at the time, their Jewish neighbors were persecuting them for following Jesus if they weren't circumcised. For even those who are circumcised do not keep the law themselves, but they desire to have circumcision that they may boast in your flesh, right? They want to brag about something, but far be it for me to boast. So Paul says, I'm not boasting about that, weird thing to boast about, but I'm also not going to boast about anything else that I've done. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about Jesus Christ. If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Yes, do you know how bad my sins were? Do you know how terrible I was? Do you know that I persecuted the people that God loved the most? I oversaw the murders of people God loved the most, but you know what I'm going to boast about? I'm going to boast about Jesus. You know how big his love is? You want to know how big his love is? He died for me while I was persecuting him. You want to boast about something? Boast about how powerful he is. He took his number one enemy who was ready to slaughter all of his friends, and he turned me like that into one of his followers. I'm not going to boast about my own achievements. I'm boasting about Jesus. I'm going to brag about him and not the things that I have done. But far be it for me to boast, except for in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Right? I care more about what God thinks rather than what anyone else thinks. So I'm going to live my life to please him and not try and please others. He says, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't matter if you're not circumcised. It doesn't make a difference. What makes a difference? It's the new creation. It matters if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you have been transformed by him through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's all that matters. Do you know who he is? That's it. Don't let anyone, no one's going to trouble me anymore. He says in verse 17, I've been persecuted for Jesus and I've found my way. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. So Paul ends this letter saying, believers, don't brag about your achievements because the work of Jesus is better. You think you've accomplished anything in your life that's worth bragging about? I guarantee you, Paul says, what Jesus has done is better. Don't brag about your personal achievements because the work of Jesus is better. Choose to brag on Jesus instead of bragging on yourself, he says. Because what's it like, right? Jesus, God of the universe, versus me, Nathan. Meh. How in the world am I going to brag? How am I going to like hold myself up to the level of what Jesus has done for me, what Jesus has done for you, and anything else? It doesn't make any sense. The image is kind of like this. It's like years ago, I am a late technology adopter. Okay, I'm usually a couple generations behind the technology, not because I don't like technology. I do like technology, but I don't want to waste my money on something that then they abandon, right? Like Betamax tapes, nope, VHS one on that. High definition DVDs, nope, Blu-ray one out on that. I'm not wasting my money on that, right? So years ago, you know, cell phones come out, and I was late to get a cell phone. Finally got a cell phone. I think the first one I got was like one of those original Razors, not the newer ones. I'm not cool. So I got the Razor when it was finally going out and on clearance, right? And I'm like, cool, you know, I got a Razor. And then, you know, as time goes on, I'm working at a church, and everyone's upgrading their phones and expecting you to respond to email immediately. So I was like, all right. So I got the latest and greatest. An iPhone? No, I got a BlackBerry. Because they were still making those back then. So I got this BlackBerry, and I'm like, wow. I mean, it blew my mind, right? Like, I could do email on this thing, and I could take, like, a 1 megapixel picture on it, right? And I could play a version of Tetris very slowly. If I needed GPS on it, I could. Chris and I got lost one time. I had it. I'm like, I've got GPS on this thing. It took 5 minutes for it to figure out where we were, and it was wrong. So, you know, but I'm playing with this, and I'm like, this is cool. I like this. So I'm loving this. Now I can send emails, and it's fantastic, and I make phone calls. I can text really quick now. I'm not, like, you know, doing the thing on the pad like you used to have to. Like, you young people, you'd have the 9 buttons on the phone, and if you wanted to say hi, you'd have to be like 7, 7, 7, right? And then you have to wait a second, then you go 3, 3. Right? Like, it took forever. So now I'm like, yeah, this is great. I'm so cool. So I'm working at this large church, and I go over to my immediate supervisor and over in the music ministry and tech team, and they just got the latest iPhones, right? I don't know nothing about this, right? So I'm like, hey, guys, you know, I got this phone, like, I have this new phone, right? Like, so I've shown them my BlackBerry, and I can do this, and I can do that, right? And then they're like, oh, yeah, you know, and they show me their iPhones, and they're like, I can take full video, and I can take, like, 12 megapixel, which was a lot back then, pictures, right? And I can play this game, and they're showing me the games that they can play with the next-gen graphics and all this stuff, and they're, like, going on and on and on about everything this thing can do, and I'm just like, just put my phone back in the pocket in shame. There's no comparison between, like, a BlackBerry, it's a phone. An iPhone is a computer. They put a computer in a phone. BlackBerry wasn't a computer. It was just a rudimentary phone. I was just amazed. There's no comparison. And Paul is saying it's the same thing between Jesus's accomplishments and us. And by the way, he doesn't say this in here. He says it elsewhere. All of our achievements, all of our accomplishments, yeah, they've been empowered by Jesus. He gave you those gifts and abilities in the first place. There's no comparison between an iPhone and a first generation BlackBerry. There's no comparison between Jesus and me, between what he has done and what I have done. So Paul is saying, why are you bragging about your own achievements? Why not brag on Jesus instead? Why not? Far be it from me to boast in the cross, in anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Probably the most obnoxious place I've seen this within churches, and I know this doesn't really apply to you, but I got to get it off my chest. When I was a younger pastor, because I still am a young pastor, leave me alone. When I was a younger pastor, you know, you'd go to these things and you'd have all these pastors, and they'd be saying, "Oh wow, you know, I led, you know, 47 people to the Lord this year. Oh, I led 375 people to the Lord." Or they'd say, "Oh, you know, I've done 3,000 baptisms. Oh, I've done, 586 baptisms this year. And, as a younger pastor, I was like, oh, man, what a loser. Oh, I only did 3 baptisms this year. Shucks. Right? I just feel terrible. And, as I got older, I realized these were the most obnoxious things that could ever come out of a pastor's mouth. Like, oh, I led so many people to the Lord this year. It's like, dude, you had the honor to be there, right? But it's not like you did all of the work. It's not like you did any of the work. In fact, if you did anything, maybe you just stumbled over a few words and said the right things at the right time. Paul said elsewhere, he said, look, I planted, Apollos watered, God caused the growth. You didn't do anything. You had the honor to be there to help them stumble across the finish line because their friends have been telling about Jesus for 37 years, right? And then their family members, the one who've been praying for them constantly, and then they show up here and you're just like, yeah, I led that person to the Lord. Yeah, maybe you did, but can you boast about that? And the worst thing is baptisms, when people are like, yeah, I baptized this many people today. It's like a notch in your belt or something. Like, dude, that's weird. To brag about how many, and who knows? Like, who is keeping a running tally? I'm sure if you threatened me and I had to go back and find all the records about how many people I participated in their baptism, I could probably find a close ballpark number. I have no clue. I have no clue. Why? Well, because he doesn't care. No. Because I don't care about the numbers. I care about the people, the individuals. As we all should. It's not a numbers game. It's a relationship. But man, I've heard that. Like, and still, I keep hearing. Now I call it out because I don't care anymore. Like, I've already burned far too many bridges. So someone's like, yeah, I'm baptized. Rah, rah. And I'm just like, why are you bragging, dude? Why are you bragging? You didn't do anything. You got wet. Good job. Toddlers can do that. All right, put a toddler in the bath. Wah, they get everybody wet. Good job, you got wet. So what? God is the one who did the work. You had the honor to be a part of that. And it's a beautiful honor. Baptisms are one of my favorite things to do. By the way, we're having a baptism next week. So if you're like, hey, I want to get baptized, let me know. but we're going to be doing baptisms next week. If you want to get baptized any week, we will do a baptism every single week if we need to or would like to. That would be a beautiful thing. It's one of the biggest honors, one of my greatest joys to be a part of is baptisms as a pastor. Not to say, oh, wow, look what I've accomplished. With Paul, here's people, again, it's a really weird thing to brag about. I mean, again, culturally, I guess it kind of makes sense, but still, I don't know if I'd brag about it. Like, people are like, man, I circumcised 37 Gentiles. I'm like, dude, we don't talk about that. Like, this is not you don't put that on your Facebook wall, right? This is not something you talk about. Urologist isn't going on his Facebook wall being like, hey, I saw this many patients today. Like, nobody brags about this. Why are you bragging about it? But they're bragging about it. They're like, look how spiritual I am. Look how many people I cut for the Lord. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. They're putting a number game. And Paul, he is so cynical about this. He's almost like, okay, give a child scissors. They can cut themselves easily. Hooray, right? It's not that important. What you've done. In fact, what you've done is led people further away from Christ instead of closer to Christ. Everything that we've achieved and accomplished, it pales in comparison to Jesus. Why shouldn't we brag about our achievements? It doesn't mean that you're not happy about your achievement. It doesn't mean that you have this healthy pride, not in the biblical sinful pride, but just to say, yeah, this is great. I feel good. I feel happy about this. That's great. That's fine. But why shouldn't we bump it up to the next level and say, and this is the unbiblical sin, is pride, and brag about it and show everyone what you've done, or the humble brag thing that we all obnoxiously have participated in because we don't want to be too overtly proud, but we want to be a little proud. We want to be acknowledged. Why shouldn't we do it? Why not? Well, because the works of Jesus are far greater, and they're far more important to brag about. They're far more important to talk about. They're far more important to point to Jesus. You see this. Remember Kurt Warner in the Super Bowl a number of years ago? Man, I feel like that was not that long ago, but it was. And they ask him, and they're like, hey, you did all this stuff, and you passed all that. You know, how'd you do that? What were you thinking? And he goes, first things first, let me give praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because it's through him I could do all this. Wow. Right? And then he talked about all this stuff, but he gave glory to God first. And then he talked about the stuff, right? That's a great model. It's a great model. So some of you might be saying, well, why can't we? Why can't we brag about this stuff, the stuff that we've accomplished? One of my mentors, Kent Edwards at Crosstalk Global, he was telling a story about Haddon Robinson, the previous pastor's dad. A lot of you know Dr. Haddon Robinson. Haddon was the teacher of preachers, it says on his tombstone right up the hill here. Kent was being mentored by Haddon, and he had an appointment. He comes into Haddon's office, and he's on the phone. And he just, you know, so he doesn't care. He just keeps talking, right? Like, as if he's not there. So Kent, you know, he's looking around the office, and he sees this box on the floor, and he starts rifling through the box on the floor, looking at all of his stuff, and he finds there's just like giant box filled with all these awards, preaching awards and speaking awards and all of this stuff. And Haddon finally gets off the phone, and Kent's like, look at these. These are impressive. Why do you have them in this little dingy box on the floor? Why don't you put them up on your walls? Why don't you, you know, have them up in your office? This is the place to put them. And Haddon said to him, put those away. God will share his glory with no one. And I still want God to use me. I still want God to work through me. So he put them away. I actually asked Haddon's daughter, Vicky. I was like, whatever happened to that box? No clue. My guess, dumpster. My guess is a dumpster. Some of you might be here saying, wait a minute, Pastor. Like, Jesus is really good at, you know, spiritual things. You know, but all the other things, the physical things that I do and the technical things that I do, you know, all that other stuff. Like, you know, he's really better than me and all that stuff, right? Is he really better? We are so good at bragging about ourselves or wanting to brag about ourselves or wishing we had achievements we could brag about. We are so good at bragging about ourselves. And Paul is telling us, brag on Jesus instead. You might be good with money, but my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You might be a good writer, but the word of God transforms hearts. You might be a good engineer, but my God design the sun and the moon and the stars. You might think that you're a good parent, but my God loves without condition. You might think that you're a good child, but my Jesus was the perfect obedience as he was crucified on the cross for our sins. You might think that you come from a good family, but Jesus has made a family of every people, tribe, tongue, and nation. You might think that you're eloquent with words, but the word of God transforms hearts, transforms lives, binds up the brokenhearted, and changes the darkened hearts of men and women. You might think that you can fix things and you're wonderful at fixing things and that you're handy, but Jesus fixes the broken hearts. You might think that you're physically strong, but Jesus holds the whole universe together by his power. You think that you are creative, but Jesus spoke the universe into existence. You might think that you're good at sports, but King Jesus is the comeback king of all time. God uses nobodies like us to show the somebodies that they're really nobody apart from Jesus Christ. And so we don't brag about our own achievements. We don't brag about what we have done. Instead, we brag about Jesus because what he has has done, what he has accomplished is far greater. His work is greater. It can never be overshadowed. It can never be stopped. The work of Jesus is greater. Put your hope in him. Put your confidence in him. Find your purpose in him. Don't brag about your own achievements. Brag on Jesus instead. Let's pray. Father, we come and we acknowledge the many good gifts you have given us as individuals. And thank you. Thank you that we get to rejoice when we accomplish things. But Father, I pray that we will never, ever glorify ourselves above you. And Father, when people heap that glory, heap that honor and praise on us, may we be like Paul and point people back to Christ and say, God has gifted me well. Praise be to God. Praise be to Jesus. Father, help us to be humble. Help us to see ourselves as we are, and help us to see ourselves as you see us, forgiven people, loved by God, glorified by God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we will never, ever, ever think that we can earn more of your love. Help us to never, ever, ever think that we can somehow deserve your favor even more. Instead, help us to realize that we have a free gift of salvation. We have your free grace through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And through that, we have access to you, Father God. We have forgiveness of sins. We have adoption into your family. We have an intimacy with you, and we get to talk to you. We get to experience you every single day. Help us to spend time with you. Help us to lean into that intimacy that you have given us and is always available because of Christ Jesus. Help us to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we move through this darkened world. Father, I pray for us. Help us to brag about what Jesus has done. Help us to brag about who he is. Help us to brag about the grace that he offers to us and he offers to the whole world for whoever will believe. Father, thank you as we humble ourselves that you promise to lift us up. May we never elevate ourselves, but may we humble ourselves so that you lift us up and change us and transform us and help us to become more like Jesus and point others towards him. And finally, Father, thank you for the book of Galatians. Thank you that we can understand we have this beautiful gift of salvation freely given to us. May we appreciate it. May we enjoy it. And may we love you in all things. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.